would appreciate your prayers that the Lord would bless his word. Because unless he anoints it, we don't have much to offer. But our confidence is in the Lord. The Lord's been good to us and he's been faithful to us. I'd like to begin this morning the book of Romans. The Lord's been talking to me about this. Felt like it had me to share it with you this morning.
Thank the Lord.
Romans chapter 7. I want to get an excerpt of Paul's writings, a testimony of Paul's experience. Romans 7, and beginning in the 14th verse, says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me."
That's so.
Now that's quite an experience, isn't it?
That's right, brother. Ooh, that's right. Ooh.
You know, people say I can relate with that experience.
That's right.
Yes. I've got the desire to do good. I want to do right.
That's so.
Most people will say I want to go to heaven.
That's right, brother.
I don't want to live a defiled life. I don't want to debase myself with the things of this world. I don't want to go there. But I don't find within me the ability not to. I don't know how not to. I don't know how to live any other kind of life. I've tried. And I've tried. And I've tried again. And the very things that I don't want to do, there I am again. Doing it. And the very things that I want to do, boy, I fell short. Lord, I want to. I want to tell you this morning. If you want to make heaven, you can do it. But not we ourselves. Christ that lives in us. My burden this morning is about the grace of God. The grace of God is able to help us do that which we cannot do. What Paul was talking about here was actually Saul's experience. Remember that? Saul became Paul whenever he met Jesus Christ. You know, whenever we meet Jesus Christ, there will be a difference in our experience.
Yes, it will be.
Paul was not, and I don't want to belabor or get too deep into it this morning, but Paul's testimony, he wasn't saying, "This is where I'm living today." There's too many other scriptures and testimonies that say, "I am a new creature."
Yeah.
And we'll read some of that. But Paul was saying, you can read it throughout here, "I find then a law. I find then an experience." He's saying, "This is what I found. This is where I was. I tried to do right. I tried to do good. If I can put it this way, I tried to be a good saint of God."
All right, brother, come on with it. Yes.
And I couldn't do it. There are people today whose testimony is, "Well, that might work for y'all, but I tried it and it just doesn't work for me." I'm going to tell you, it'll work for you.
All right.
This is a one-size-fits-all salvation.
That's so.
It's not just for a select few.
That's right.
It is for you today.
Amen.
The grace of God is a wonderful thing. But Saul had not found that grace yet. What he found was a knowledge of right and wrong. I know that I'm not doing right. I know that I'm falling short. But I just don't know what to do about it. I've tried. Willpower doesn't do it. determination, tried everything that I knew to do, and it wasn't enough.
Right.
Our efforts and our strength and our determination, as important and necessary as every one of those are, will not be enough for us to be able to live pleasing to the Lord.
Yes.
Well, let's keep going here before we comment too much more. Paul said, I find then a law. This is the summary of the experience I just described to you. He's saying, that points out that there's a law.
Yes, a law.
There is a law that when I would do good, evil is still present with me. Mm-hmm. Now he goes on throughout his writings and says, what then? Is the law evil? Mm-hmm. The Jewish people were under a law that taught them, thou shalt not. Mm-hmm. Don't partake of this. Don't do that. And it brought them an understanding of a holy God, and that he had requirements of their life. The Lord has requirements of our life. And the Lord wants us to have an understanding of what is right and wrong. This world is losing that distinction.
Yes.
They're blurring those lines of what right and wrong is.
That's right.
But we still serve a holy God. And we are still going to stand before a holy and a righteous and a just God.
Yes.
That will judge every one of us. Mm-hmm. Not according to a curve. Mm-hmm. Not according to what the majority were doing.
Right.
Well, the world's just getting worse and worse. And so Clint was kind of at the top of the no. The grace of God is greater than that.
There
you go. It goes on in the 8th chapter, and he says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If your experience has resembled what Saul's did, I want you to know today that Christ Jesus has come to set you free from that kind of experience.
That's right.
Where I know that I know what right is. Maybe my parents have taught me. Maybe I grew up going to church. You know, there are a lot of people that still know. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that still have some good ideas of what right and wrong are. Mm-hmm. But just aren't living it.
That's so, brother. That's so, amen.
Mm-hmm. Scripture says in the first chapter of John that the law came by Moses.
Yeah.
And it served its purpose. But it says grace and truth came by Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus didn't come to throw away truth. He didn't come to say, hey, listen, you all just live however you want to live. I just want you to know I just love you all anyway.
That's right.
You know the Lord loves us anyway.
Yes.
But he is also a God of not only of grace, but a God of truth.
That's right.
They coexist in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. He has a standard today. Yeah. He has a requirement to enter into his heaven. It's his. I don't enter there by my own rules.
Right.
I don't measure myself and say, I think I'm good enough to be able to get in. I'm going to tell you, none of us are going to be able to earn our way in. None of us are going to be able to say, well, I disciplined myself enough. You know, self-denial in and of itself is not enough. I'm going to tell you, I can park my car and get a horse and buggy and live that way. And it's not going to be enough. I can go live in a monastery somewhere and deny myself all kinds of things in life. And it will not be enough. We can't do it. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Christ. And he said, good master, what thing do I still lack? Or how do I have eternal life? You know what Jesus answered him? He began reciting some of the law. some of the requirements and commandments of the law.
Right.
And boy, he checked them all off. Yeah. Done it.
Uh-huh.
Done it.
That's what he said.
Done it. Every one of those from my youth, I've done it.
Yeah, that's right.
But he went on to say, what lack I?
Lack I, didn't he?
There's still something that I lack.
Yes.
There's still something I realize that is inadequate, insufficient.
Yes.
Jesus then began to dig down into the heart.
Yes, he did.
Go and sell all that you have. Well, whoa, that's not in the law. But the Lord wanted to meet him where he was.
Yes.
Grace and truth came through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is the standard that the Lord holds for us.
Yes.
He's got the grace to make it possible to reach that.
Yes, so.
He is not an unjust God.
Yes, so.
Who says, I require this of you. But I know there's no way you're ever going to be able to meet it. He holds a high standard, and we'll talk some more about that. But he also offers the grace for us to be able to do what I could not do and live pleasing to him. The grace of God is a mighty and a powerful thing. Romans, the fifth chapter, tells us, in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Said in, I believe it was the seventh chapter we were reading, that sin revived and I died. Once I had a knowledge and an understanding of God's ways and of his requirements, and I violated and trespassed that, I become a transgressor.
That's right.
I become defiled in God's sight.
So
where the law entered that brought them understanding, the offense abounded. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There is a lot of sin in our world today.
Yes.
A lot of wickedness, a lot of corruption. That's all around us. You can't hardly turn on the radio anymore or walk down the aisle in the store or pull up a news site on your phone without just being bombarded by it. Someone is telling me, an older individual, neighbor of ours recently, was saying, you know, I feel for your children. Having to go out into this kind of a world. Said, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I too would despair.
Yes.
But you know what? Where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. It doesn't matter how dark it gets.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how prevalent the sin and the wickedness around us.
Right.
The grace of God will abound far above that. So it doesn't matter what this world does. Folks, hook into Christ Jesus and you'll be able to make it. We can in ourselves. We're not going to be able to, but the grace of God will enable us to do what I cannot do. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. So I want to touch now on a misconception of what grace is. Grace is very, very common. Used and spoken of in religious circles. Grace is indeed a foundational, basic principle of Christianity.
Yes.
The idea of grace is that grace is like a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
It just covers over all your sins and iniquities that are in your heart and all of your ongoing behavior and conduct that is sinful. It's like it shields God from being able to see it anymore.
Right.
Folks, grace is more than that.
Yes, glory.
The grace of God is more than that.
Yes.
The grace of God does more than just to save us in our sins.
Yes.
The grace of God saves us from our sins,
glory.
Out of our sins.
Glory.
It doesn't leave us there anymore.
Yes.
It doesn't leave us down in the pig pen and the mire.
Yes.
The grace of God abounds And it reaches down and lifts us up to a higher plane of grace. And allows us and enables us and empowers us to be able to live free from sin. People are saying, that's crazy talk now. Nobody can live that kind of way. No, you're right. But for the grace of God. And isn't that what Paul said?
Yes.
By the grace of God, I am what I am.
Yeah,
that's right. The only thing that I can attribute it to.
Yes.
It's not just me saying this. I want us to realize, and some of us have heard this maybe all of our lives, but Lord, inspire it to our hearts afresh this morning.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This misconception of grace is not new to our time. It was indeed in Paul's time. And so he said in the first verse of the next chapter. So what shall we say then? What's the conclusion then that comes from this wonderful grace? Well, just continue on in sin. Because grace will just keep on abounding. What do you say? Well, I'll think about it. No, God forbid. No way. That's not what the grace of God is for. The grace of God is not to just change your name or your identity and leave you in the flames and in the mud. It lifts us up and out of sin, of ourselves, and enables us to live a life that is pleasing to God. We are not to continue in sin. 15th verse says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid.
Yes.
Folks, we are to measure the things that we hear in this world.
Yes.
Not by what I say. Measure it by the Word of God. I am a minister by the grace of God of the Church of God.
Yes.
I am born into the Church of God. By birth in Christ Jesus. When I was born again, and so may you. But it's not just a minister of the Church of God saying, listen, you got to just, this is the only right way. You got to just believe it because I say it. Go to the Word of God. Let's compare what other folks are saying to the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, if your minister tells you, if you hear on the radio a preacher saying, we are sinners saved by grace. No, no, no. We are ex-sinners saved by grace. If they tell you, you can't help but to sin every day, that is contrary to the Word of God. It is contrary to the very idea of what God's grace is. There's one scripture that says, of those that have done despite unto the Spirit of grace, of how they should be worthy of greater damnation than those under the law. What does it mean to do despite unto the Spirit of grace? You know, I believe if you look at the definition of that word, it means insult unto. You know, it's really an insult unto the grace of God to say, well, it's just who I am. And I can't help it. And you're going to have to deal with it. It's just, you keep on sinning and you keep on sinning. That's an insult to the grace of God.
Yes,
because the grace of God, if you know my Lord,
yes,
if you know the power of His grace, yes, you know that He's able to help. He's able to change who we are. He's able to give us grace,
yes,
to help in time of need.
Yes,
why then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid.
Yes.
You're not to yield yourself servants unto sin anymore.
Right.
The old habits and the old desires. And just getting to a place that I just despair of ever being different. Of ever being able to gain victories in my life. The grace of God is the answer.
Yes, it is, brother. Thank you. Yes, it is. Grace of God.
I want to consider definition of grace. Oh, you can think of it as the unmerited favor of God, perhaps.
Yes.
But I want us, as we look at the scriptures that use the word grace, good way to know if you got a good definition is substitute that definition for that word and see if it still flows in the context of Scripture. Yeah. The power of His divine enabling influence in our lives.
Power.
Grace is the power of His divine enabling influence in our lives. So the power of His divine enabling influence in our lives will abound. The Lord has for us the power of His divine enabling influence to work in our lives. So this experience that the Lord has for us in Christ Jesus is not just to bring us an awareness of how sinful we are and nothing more. That's what the law did. And too many people today are still living an experience that's like what the law offered. Mm-hmm. No, there's something more than that in Christ.
Right.
Where you have to, they had to come back day after day after day and offer their sacrifices again. And every year they'd have to go and the high priest would offer his sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people. You know what happened in Christ? He came and offered Himself once for all. He became our sacrifice. He became that. So do I continue to come before Him and say, oh, Lord, I sinned again today. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, if you sin, the Scripture says that the Word teaches us that we are not to sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Come to the Lord. But I want to tell you today, His plan is not to leave you there.
That's right.
His plan is not to keep you in that kind of place. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You are eligible today. You are an eligible candidate for the grace of God. If I am willing to meet the conditions, it hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. See, I want us to notice the distinction between the law and grace that came through Christ.
Yes.
The law said you're a sinner. Uh-huh. And it left them saying, what do I do about it?
Yes.
Like Paul said, I don't know what to do. I can't get out of it. Uh-huh. But grace that came through Christ said, let me show you. Yes. I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to enable you to do it. Uh-huh. I remember one time I went and rented a car. You know how the newer cars now have a steering assist feature? Pretty handy, but you still, most of them, you still got to put your hand on the wheel. Still working on that one. But I rented a car that they had gotten the technology to the point that it would beep at you whenever you started to stray out of the lane. And it'd just beep at you. But I had another car back home that not only would it beep at you, but it would help steer you back into your lane. Now, it's a simplistic example. But the law would beep at you and say, hey, you're doing wrong here. But grace that comes through Christ puts a hand on the wheel and says, my child, let me help you. Let me help you get back into the right path. Let me show you the way. Let me give you the strength to your hands and your feet, and let me help you say no to that temptation.
Yes.
Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
That's so,
to come and to help us.
Yes.
What does the Scripture say in Hebrews, the 4th chapter? Well, Jesus isn't here any longer in the flesh.
That's right.
And the disciples had cause perhaps to worry about that. Oh, but Jesus spent quite a bit of time telling him, it's needful that I go away.
That's right.
I tell you, it's not going to be over then. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send my Spirit to help you.
Yes.
Romans, the 4th chapter, the 15th verse says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm going to tell you, He understands.
Yes, He does.
He understands where you're at today. He knows why you are where you're at.
That's right.
And if I'll come humbly before the Lord, He understands and He'll help me with that. Yes. What's not going to stand is me coming and saying, Lord, let me explain to you why I'm where I'm at and why I'm going to stay there. But if I'll come,
that's right,
humbly, yes, and it says, therefore, boldly under the throne of what? Grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace.
That's right.
This is the source of it.
That's so.
Oh, I think, was it Ezekiel that had a vision of a river that was coming from under the throne and it issued out? I'm going to tell you, there is a river of grace that issues from under the throne of God. And it flows down and we can be planted by that river. Come boldly to the throne of grace. What is your need today? Come to the throne of grace. I don't have grace to give you. But oh, if I can help point you to the throne of grace. My brother, my sister, you too can have access to that throne. You too can tap into it for your troubles. For your temptations. For your weaknesses. For your besetting sins, you too can have access to that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I was talking to a brother one time that had been through some very, very difficult places. And I was calling and checking on him, brother, how you doing? Been praying for you. He said, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's been helping me.
All right.
And he said, I'm going to tell you how it felt to me. He said, you ever gotten stuck in the mud in your truck? And your tires just start spinning. And you can't go anywhere. The snow. You put it in reverse and you're spinning. You put it in drive and you're spinning. You try to turn and you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. But he said, I found by coming to the Lord, I can switch on four-wheel drive. And it gives me what I need to be able to get up and out and over this.
Yes.
Folks, the grace of God is there to help us in our time of need.
Yes.
If we'll look to the Lord, if we'll turn to the Lord, don't turn to your own strength. You will become frustrated, tired, exhausted.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, the grace of God is there for us.
Yes, it is.
When we need it.
That's so.
It's there for us in our times of trouble. If I'll reach up and say, Lord, Lord, I need grace. Because I'm going to tell you, this plan of salvation, we heard about following Jesus.
Yeah.
I hope today that's your desire.
That's right.
I want to follow Jesus. Jesus loved.
Yes, he did.
With reckless abandon. He loved to the fullest extent. Jesus forgave. Even those that did him wrong, those that crucified him, he looked on it. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't something put on. That wasn't something because the disciples were watching afar off. When you get into your time of need, it'll show what you really got inside. It's not whenever the easy times are on us that's a measure of what you got. It's when the difficult times come. That shows what's inside. And what was inside of Christ in his most distressed moment.
Yes.
Father, forgive them.
That's what he said.
They don't know what they do.
That's, right.
That's what his heart was. And so I'm now called to be like Jesus.
Amen.
He loved and he forgave and he sacrificed. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again.
Amen.
He resisted temptation.
Yes.
He said, get behind me, Satan.
Right.
And I am called to follow in his steps. We are called today to a high standard of in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We're called to be like Jesus.
Yes.
This world has so cheapened what it means to be a Christian.
Yes.
They've so watered it down.
Yes.
Jesus is more than a bumper sticker that you take and apply over a shoddy, sinful life. Jesus is what you live by the grace of God through your life. This shows a change. This shows a difference. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. But without the grace of God, my experience will be like Saul's. I'm trying and I'm falling short. I'm trying and I'm falling short. And I want to be clear. There is going to be a growth process for every one of us. There's going to be some growing pains. There are going to be places that the Lord reminds me how dependent I am upon Him. But Paul said, we already heard in the meeting, I forget all those things that are behind.
Yes.
And I press forward. Mm-hmm. I press towards the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that we are all called unto. And I press for that. I'm aiming for that. I'm reaching for that. I'm striving for that.
Yes.
We must not lower the standard. What many in the world have done when they have fallen short.
Yes.
When they in their own efforts have tried to live for the Lord, or when they through their religious, organizational rites and rituals have tried to live a holy life and come short.
Yes.
Have come to the conclusion that it must not be possible. And they've set the standard where they are. You know what that's like? If I want to prove my marksmanship to you, and I pull my bow out and I fire my arrow, and then I go draw a bullseye right around the arrow, I say, nailed it every time. 100%. But that's the way people live their lives. However it is I'm living, I paint the grace of God around that and say, that's where it's at. That's the best that I can do. No. There's a bullseye for us, and it's Christ Jesus.
Oh, yes, it is.
And the grace to be able to do what we cannot do. People will look at us sometimes and say, I could never live that way. It is a high standard.
Yes, it is.
I've been talking some with the local police, and the police chief was telling us that it's so hard to recruit people now. They said we've had to change some of our insurance requirements. Because we weren't getting enough people. They said the times have changed now. She said there was a time that we had a policy against exposed tattoos. But she said we got to where we couldn't hire anybody. So we've had to change and lower that so that we could get more people in. The truth of God does not change.
That's so relevant.
Whether I'm there or not,
that's right.
The truth of God doesn't change. I cannot, I must not try to bring the standard down to where I am and assume that's the best that it gets. No, Lord, if I read in your word the standards up here, I can be assured that grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. Lord, give me the grace then to get up here. Give me the grace to live up here where you want me to live. He will not call us to that which He does not have the grace to enable us to get to and to live to consistently in our lives. The Scripture still teaches holiness to the Lord. That didn't expire in 1880. It didn't expire in 1980 or any other year. Holiness is still that without which no man will see the Lord. I must be holy, and you must be holy. Clean from, pure from our sins and unrighteousness. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Holiness within and without in my life, manifesting itself. People look on it and say, oh, I could never live that way. You're looking at it wrong. You're looking at it from the wrong side of grace. I'm going to tell you, you get a hold of the grace of God, and it'll change your perspective. No, you can't do it without the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you, the song says, mighty to say. Could we sing that first verse of 115, I think?
Mighty to save and mighty to keep, grace like the ocean,
yes, like
boundless and deep. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? Life everlasting to me. Glory to God, I know I'm saved. This is a blessing I have. Over the world, my sins be great.
grace almost exhausted and the shelves almost bare. Okay. Like toilet paper was in 2020. No. Grace like an ocean.
That's
boundless and deep. It's still there for you. There's still more where it came from. Don't give up. Don't quit. There's grace like an ocean. Will you believe it today? Will you receive it? There's grace for you.
Amen.
And for me to be able to live the life that is pleasing to God.
Yes.
People come to places sometimes that they have been so wronged that they say, I want to live for God, but I can never forgive that individual. No, you get a hold of Jesus, and He'll make you want to forgive that person. People get it wrong. They get it backwards. They get the cart before the horse, and they try to become saints before the grace is there.
That's right.
Folks, you got to have grace to become a saint of God and to live a saint of God. Now, if the Lord shows you something that you ought not to be doing, say, Lord, by your help, I'm going to do everything I can to reach him forth to Christ,
amen,
to lay aside the things that I... But I'm going to tell you, you can't measure to the fullness of what God wants you to be without the grace that comes in salvation. It said the Spirit of grace.
Yeah.
Don't do despite to the Spirit of grace. You know, we get a measure of grace through Christ Jesus. We are forgiven by grace, saved by grace. You know, there is a Spirit of grace. And there is a Holy Spirit even before the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Jesus told the disciples, He has been with you.
Mm-hmm.
And He shall be in you.
Yeah.
There is a fuller measure of His working in your life that is yet to come. The Spirit of grace. You remember the man Legion? I think Brother Marty maybe referenced him. He was saved. He was delivered by the power of Christ. And he said, I want to go with you, Lord. And I wonder in his mind, he said, I don't want to go back to those influence. I don't want to go back to the possibility. I'm going to tell you, Jesus wasn't worried about that. You go back and tell what the Lord's done for you. You go back and live the life. Folks, the grace of God is mighty not only to save, but it's mighty to keep us.
Yes.
It is greater than the influences and the spirits that first overtook that man. You go back and live in the grace of God and you're going to be just fine. And I'll make you a fisher of men and a shining light. You read throughout scriptures, especially in Paul's letters. He'll say unto them, grace be unto you. May the grace of God be with you. He loved him. He was concerned for him. He knew that there was the possibility that they could fall. In Hebrews it says, looking diligently, lest any one of you fall short of the grace of God. That's possible. Grace is not something that locks us into a salvation cell that I can never get out of. The choice is still mine. I've got to live in grace. I've got to live under the umbrella of grace. And I can get outside of that by my own choice. Well, I'm going to go play out in the world. The grace isn't out in the world. Stay away from there. Then I wonder all of a sudden, oh, what's happening? Why am I falling short? Why do I not have the strength that I need? Get under the umbrella of grace. The grace of our Lord be with your spirit. As this meeting is coming to a close,
yes, Lord.
May the grace of our Lord be with you all. He is able to keep you. What are you going back home to? I don't know. Perhaps you don't even know. Take the grace of God with you.
Amen.
Don't leave this place without the grace of God upon your heart. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. After Paul, the Apostle Paul, had prayed that this infirmity, this thorn in the flesh would be removed, prayed three times. He was coming boldly to the throne of grace. And he got the answer. Said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. It's not by our own strength or our own ability. It is by the Spirit of grace. It is by God's grace that we'll be able to have on hand what I need to meet the next test, to say no, to deny myself. His strength, His grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
You know what that tells me? That at my last day, when I stand before God, I will be without excuse.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not going to be able to come before the throne and say, "But Lord, do you know what they did for me? To me? Did you see the way they treated me?" I'm going to be speechless.
That's right.
Standing before that throne of grace, which is now the throne of judgment.
That's right.
And say, I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. Do you know the spouse that I was married to? I just couldn't do it. Nobody could live that way with that kind of a boss. No. My grace is sufficient.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if there are documents filling our courtrooms today that say dissolution of marriage due to irreconcilable differences. I'm going to tell you the grace of God is sufficient.
Yes, it is, brother.
It is sufficient for us.
Yes.
What is your difficulty? What is your marriage problem? The grace of God is sufficient.
Sufficient.
Oh, the world's trying to muddy what marriage is.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, if you're living under the umbrella of God's grace,
All right.
That first vow that I made unto my spouse, that first vow that I made, the only thing that will dissolve that vow is death itself.
That's right.
That's true. That's right.
And if I am in that marriage, the grace of God is able to keep me.
That's right.
The grace of God is able to cover a multitude of irritants,
that's so.
Annoyances.
That's so.
But you live without the grace of God, and it's not going to be very long before just a little bitty irritant starts chafing so much that people will say, "I just can't do it anymore." Yeah. It's no wonder that people are ending their marriages right and left. You need the grace of God as a core ingredient
yes.
to your marriage and to your home and to your congregations.
Yes.
We need the grace of God working in our hearts. The power of His divine enabling influence. Oh, so often I pray, "Lord, incline my heart in the right way. Lord, give me the desire, because it's a struggle sometimes. Lord, I know in my mind you said forgive. And I want to forgive. I mean to forgive. But Lord, I'm sure struggling with it right now."
Yeah.
You know there is a grace of forgiveness.
Yes, it is.
When we come to the Lord, He has a grace. So here, let me switch on four-wheel drive for you. Let me help you up over there. I know what it's like. And my grace is sufficient. Aren't you thankful that's the Lord's answer?
That's right.
Then we don't come to the Lord and He says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that one. I'm sorry, you're in too deep now. I don't know what to do." No. His grace is sufficient for you. Whatever your difficulty, you can live saved. You can live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. No matter the lies of the devil that would tell you otherwise. When I say, "Oh, but I've tried it before." Were you trying it with the grace of God? Were you really availing yourself? Scripture also says, it says about not failing of the grace of God, not receiving the grace of God in vain.
Yeah.
You know, we can step outside of His grace and then say, "Why isn't His grace there?" I'm going to tell you, there is a way of escape from temptation.
Yes.
But if I keep trucking right on past the escape, and then say, "Well, where was grace when I needed it?" Grace was that last exit that you just intentionally passed up. There was an exit. There was grace for you. But I've got to avail myself of the grace. I've got to take advantage of His grace. Don't expect that grace is just going to bowl you over. And you ever see a video, a video clip of somebody, a child was crossing the road and they didn't see a car coming. And somebody swooped them up and took them out of the way and just in the nick of time.
Nick
folks, the Lord is able to preserve us.
That's so.
But don't expect that you're going to go marching off headstrong your own way and the grace of God just coming. And in spite of yourself, pick you up and pluck you out of the way. The grace of God will appear unto us.
Yes.
It'll teach us.
That's so.
It'll show us.
Yes,
here's
so.
What you need to do.
Yes.
And I got to do it.
Yes.
Here's what you need to do. And then the scripture says, let's go ahead and turn to the fourth chapter of James. You know, we can look at things sometimes that seem so insurmountable. Life throws curveballs our way. Some of you have been through places more difficult than what I have. But I've heard some of your testimonies. The grace of God is there for us in our time of need. You know, we can become overwhelmed whenever we look at the whole big picture and say, how am I ever going to get through this one? How am I ever, the rest of my life? How am I ever going to be able to live for God and say no to temptation all through the rest of my life? You ever have the devil come and accuse you like that? Oh, you're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to keep it very long. You're going to be pulled right back into the same kind of temptations. The Lord calls people to make some difficult decisions sometimes in their life. Living for the Lord sometimes means making some difficult decisions. Separating myself from sinful living conditions and things like that. You know the grace of God will be there for you. I don't have the grace to give you. So I can't stand over you with a baton and say, look to the Lord. Look to the one that brought truth and grace. I can give you truth, but I can't give you grace. He can give you both to be able to live it. But the way we do it is not just trying to process it all at once and, oh, you know, I don't have grace probably for next year. You know what? The Lord's grace is sufficient for today.
Yes.
And if I'll avail myself of today's grace, guess what's going to happen when I get to tomorrow? There's going to be a fresh supply of grace from this river that's sufficient for tomorrow. James, the fourth chapter, tells us, James 4 and 6, but He giveth more grace. Oh, thank the Lord. Do you need more grace? Have you gotten to a point that you feel, I've just kind of gotten stuck? My wheels are just kind of spinning now. I'm just going in circles, Lord. Oh, come boldly to the throne of grace. He is your answer. He is your help. He's got more grace than what He's already. Don't worry about exhausting it. Don't worry about you taking what I needed. He's got plenty. He's got grace for us all. He giveth more grace. When it seems like I've gone as far as I can go. Remember one time I had a difficult situation with somebody that I was working with and felt like I'd just done everything I possibly could. Gone as far as I could. And it was, the response was so painful. I remember going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I've gone as far as I can. The Lord said, you haven't died for him yet. I said, yes, Lord.
Oh.
And He had more grace for me.
Uh-huh.
Folks, the Lord has grace
yes, he
for us to go all the way with Him.
Oh, Lord.
He giveth more grace.
Oh, Lord.
But I mentioned a moment ago, we can step outside of that umbrella of grace. He said He resists the proud. Oh, I got this one. You know, a form of pride can even be negligence. Peter, remember Peter? Lord, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm not going to deny you. No way! I've been raised among the saints in our time. Folks, we need the Lord desperately every day of our lives. It doesn't matter what yesterday's victory. Thank the Lord for yesterday's victories. But I need victory tomorrow. And I need it today.
Amen.
And the grace that gave me victory yesterday will give me grace for victory today. And victory tomorrow. It'll be there. It won't run out if I'll avail myself. But I got to stay humble before the Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm entreating you for your grace in this situation. Don't lean under your own understanding. Don't rely on your own strength. I'm going to tell you, you can't be strong enough to say no to the devil and yourself. Sooner or later, your strength's going to fail you.
That's right.
And sometimes, the Lord doesn't design failure for us. But sometimes, He can use our failures to prove a blessing to us, to say, you see there, you thought you had it. And you didn't. My child, let me teach you. Let me teach you how dependent you are upon me. We need the Lord every day. Scripture talks about in Ephesians, the second chapter, that He might show unto you the exceeding riches of His grace. Thank the Lord that there is a full supply. We don't have to worry about supply chain shortages when it comes to grace. There is still more where it came from. We can keep going back over and over and over again to the throne of grace. And the Lord's not going to get tired of it. And the grace isn't going to run out. Folks, don't fail of the grace of God. Don't come short. Don't let the grace that's bestowed upon you be in vain. The Lord will appear. The grace of God will appear to you. Don't let it be in vain. Avail yourself of the grace of God. Will you believe it? Will you receive it? This grace that God is offering unto us. Pray for me.